Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words to speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. Please be seated. There were three contractors who were on a tour of the White House, and they came across a fence that had been broken down, and they asked the White House official, would it be possible for us to give a bid to fix the fence? And the White House official said, well, sure. So there were the three contractors. One was from Minnesota, the other was from Tennessee, and the other was from Chicago. And so the contractor from Minnesota got out his tape measure and began to do his calculations and figured out the price of fixing the fence. And he said to the official, it's going to cost, I think it's going to cost $900 to fix this fence. $400 for the materials, $400 for my crew, and $100 profit for me. Well, the guy from Tennessee said, well, I can do it for $700. $300 for my materials and $300 for my crew and $100 profit for me. The guy from Chicago took the White House official aside and whispered in his ear, $2,700. And the official said, what? You didn't even do any calculations. How could you come up with a figure of $2,700? And the guy said, look, $1,000 for me, $1,000 for you, and we hired the guy from Tennessee to do the work of fixing the fence. Well, I know many of you have talked to me and you've been concerned about the direction our nation is heading and some of the things that are going on in our country. You see, perhaps you told me about some corruption that you see in the government, and you're concerned about many things. Some of you are concerned about our firearms being taken away from us. Some of you are concerned that we'll continue to have to pay for babies being murdered by abortion. Others are concerned that we're going to pack the Supreme Court with justices that are not concerned about the Constitution. Some are concerned that we'll continue to see the hordes of illegal immigrants coming into this country and overwhelming our public assistance programs and perhaps even putting Americans out of jobs. Indeed, for many people, these things kind of sound like the end of our country. And adding to that, there is the continuation of violence happening in so many different cities. And as we look at all of these things, the temptation is for us to see if this is just too much for us to handle. And then even after the plague struck and the economic activity began to sag, we began to wonder, are we ever going to survive all of this? And certainly now as things begin to return to a bit of normalcy, we begin to view our lives in the sense of recovery. But what are we using as a template for recovery? Was it an improved marriage rate and family stability? Was it a reduction in sales activity on the Lord's Day or an increase in church attendance? Was it a reduction in the divorce rate and improvement in dads staying with families? Well, you know the answer to that question, those questions. We continue to measure progress as a nation by the number of unemployment claims and the rate of unemployment and the decrease in the virus. We take joy not in our return to God and family, but in record levels of stock prices, totally fueled by the 24-hour printing press of our Federal Reserve, pouring cash into financial markets as the national debt takes off into the stratosphere and beyond. In our first lesson today, Amos was a true patriot, and he loved his nation. He was not a priest or a religious leader. He wasn't a prophet, although he was called to be a prophet. He was simply a layperson who was called by God to do something. God called him to go and speak to the nation of Israel and to prophesy to them. And he was to prophesy to them the coming judgment that was going to come upon them. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to just go back and be with the sycamore trees that he cared for and the sheep that he was over and took care of. So as I look today at today's reading from the prophet Amos, I see God responding to Israel's infidelity by preparing a plague. But at the prayer of the prophet, God actually relented. God's plan and desire for all of us is good. It's always good. We're not always able to see God's goodness in the plans and the things that happen to us. But that's the promise of God. Even though God turns his judgment away, his people still refuse to turn back to him. Turn, if you will, in your bulletins to our first lesson from Amos. Amos chapter 7. starting at verse 7. This is what we read. This is what the Lord showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," I replied. And then the Lord said, "Look, I'm setting a plumb line among my people Israel." So we see that the Lord was holding a plumb line. Now, a plumb line was a piece of string or rope that had a weight at the end of it. And they would use it to measure whether a building was straight up and down, was perpendicular, or whether it was leaning or whatever. They would also use it to determine if walls had begun to sag one way or another and needed to be torn down. I used to work for a guy in a construction company, and they didn't use plumb lines in that way, but they did have something called a plumb line, which was a contraption that had chalk in it and a piece of string inside of it. And what you would do is you pull out the string, and the contractor would put it on the end of the board where he wanted to start the cut of the wood, and he would pull it all the way down to the bottom of the board where he wanted the other part of the cut to be, and then he would make a snap of the line, and that would put a blue line on the board where it needed to be cut. And I didn't know what a plumb line was. I didn't know what this sort of thing was, and the guys in the company were going to have a little fun with me, so they tried to show me how to use it. They said, "What you do is you pull it out of the thing like this, and you hold it up like this, and you hold the other part down by your waist." And as I did that, they took the string and snapped it, and I had a nice blue line right in the middle of my face. Much to their amusement, of course, but God wasn't kidding when he talked about setting a plumb line among his people Israel. God says in Isaiah 28, verse 16, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line." Jesus, we know looking back on this now, is our foundation. He is the foundation upon which all the walls of the kingdom are to be built. The plumb line to make sure that the walls are straight and true is God's word. The nation of Israel had originally been built true to plumb, but now was out of line and needed to be torn down. As I look at the different aspects of our nation, and even the church at large, I see that we are not true to plumb. As in Amos' day, we see a nation and a church that needs to repent. We should not be surprised in the days to come that both governmental and high-profile church leaders will be exposed for their illegal and immoral actions. This will be a part of God's realignment project. So what can we do to resolve this alignment ourselves? Well, perhaps we can look at what is out of alignment in our lives. The walls represent the moral masonry of our character. The walls have one foundation. The walls are not built on two foundations, but rather on one foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. As we look at the founding of our nation, the founders saw faith in God as the very foundation of this new country. Every person then had a responsibility to build the walls of their life by living lives of integrity, moral, and care for one's fellow citizens. In other words, to follow the plumb line of God's word and his commandments. So every person's good character helps to build the walls of this nation straight and true. This principle is the paramount affection of a person. Whatever he loves most governs him. If he loves pleasure most, his character is sensual. If he loves money most, his character is worldly. If he loves wisdom most, his character is philosophic. If he loves God most, his character is divine, and so on. We can also note that the walls of the foundation can be made up of a variety of materials. In a building, there are here on this earth, things like lime, stones, bricks, wood, iron, etc. can be used in making walls. These are brought together into a whole. Character is not formed in one set of actions, thoughts, impulses, or volitions. All kinds of acts enter into it: mental, moral, muscular, personal, political, religious. All are materials of the building. The building process is a gradual advancement. You can't build a house in a day. You really have to build it brick upon brick, stone upon stone. So the formation of character is a slow work. Men and women cannot become either evil or holy at once, nor can we spring into these characters by a single bound. It takes time to build up good character, and it takes a longer time to build a righteous character within us. Acts make habits, and habits make character. What is the divine plumb line, then, by which we can test our character? Well, David talks about that in Psalm 119, when he says this, "How can a young person stay in the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So as we pay attention to the plumb line of God's word, then we find ourselves more in line with the will of God and the ways of God. The weight at the end of the plumb line that allows it to be a straight measuring device is love. Love for God and for neighbor. Without love, we are nothing, and the walls of our lives are bound to crumble and fall. So here's the plumb line. Are we becoming more like Christ? If not, our moral masonry is not architecturally sound or symmetric. The good news is that all of our walls do not need to be torn down. Some may need to be shorn up by a new resolve to learn and live by the Word of God. We can also make sure that we stay firmly planted in the foundation of Jesus Christ through prayer and meditation. Listen to what St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, and yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." And so Paul is talking about here the fact that the good works that we do, the works that we do according to the will of God, the works that we do directed by the Holy Spirit, those good things that we do are ultimately going to result in not only our benefit on this earth, but also we'll be receiving rewards for those things in glory. Before we can hope to see our country come into realignment with the will and the ways of God, we must first seek to realign ourselves with Jesus and His Word, and then seek to help others to come to know the One who can truly bring them into alignment with the will of God, and the One who can bring them into alignment with His plumb line. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that You would help us to have the desire to live according to Your commandments, according to Your Word, that You would help us to learn more about Your Word so that we would know those times when we are deviating from it, that You would help us to have a resolve by Your Holy Spirit to be able to live the sort of life that reflects Your divine character. Lord, would You also inspire within us a desire to see others be brought into Your kingdom and be brought into alignment with You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.